This is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and as your host for the program today, it's my privilege to welcome you. I do hope that you will stay tuned, because as usual, we have a great lineup of material for you on our program today. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast features the ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today, Pastor Phipps has chosen to present to us a title, Ye Are the Salt of the Earth. As we've done before, and we've had to do before, we've decided to split this message up into two parts. So today we're going to hear part one of Ye Are the Salt of the Earth. But just before the message starts, here's some music.
Never know why he was sent from heaven to comfort my soul. But I've got to let the whole world know that Christ the Lord, he loves me so. He came and died, and now he is risen again. I've got to stand up and tell that story. I've got to stand up and tell that story. I've got to stand up and tell that story of just how he made me, how he saved me, how he made me whole. He didn't have to leave his throne above. I can't resist this matchless love. That love has conquered my soul. Now in his grace he bids you go. Let the world know you love him so. With joy, just tell everyone in his name. You've got to stand up and tell that story. You've got to stand up and tell that story. You got to stand up and tell your story of just how he made you, how he saved you, how he made you and tell your story. You've got to stand up and tell that story. You've got to stand up and tell your story of just how he made you, how he saved you, how he made you whole. You've got to stand up and tell that story. You've got to stand up and tell your story. You've got to stand up and tell that story of just how he made you, how he saved you, how he made you whole. You got to stand up and tell your story. You got to stand up and tell that story. You got to stand up and tell your story of just how he made you, how he saved you.
That's music by Wintley Phipps here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. A song entitled Stand Up and Tell the Story from the CD release entitled We Are One. We reached back into the archives a little bit for that one. Well, here's the message for today. Ye are the salt of the earth, part one.
The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men." Come with me to a wasteland known as the wilderness of Judah. For 500 years, the area near Sodom and Gomorrah had lain desolate, cursed, it seemed, by God. This area that once looked like the Garden of Eden now lay wild and barren. Even the springs had dried up. This area was near Jericho, and God had commanded that Jericho was never to be rebuilt. But Ahab and the wicked queen Jezebel rebuilt the place God had said not to build. They revived the worship of the idol Ashtaroth. Not far from Jericho, in the midst of fruitful groves, was one of the schools of the prophets, one of the seminaries. And after Elijah ascended to heaven, Elisha went there to that seminary to pay the young preachers there a visit. He went there to encourage them. And during his stay there, the men of the city came to the prophet and said, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren." In other words, they said, "As you can see, this town is well situated, but the water here is bad. People have gotten sick from it. It's even affected the soil, so we can't grow good crops." "Elisha," they said, "can you see there is no usable drinking water here? The springs that used to be here in years gone by, giving pure life-giving water, have become contaminated. The natural springs that we use for our water supply have become unfit for use." Elisha listened and said to them, "Go bring me a new bowl. Fill it with salt." Salt. Yes, salt. So they did it as he said. He took it and went out to the city spring. And the Bible says he dumped the salt into the spring and said, "This is what the Lord says. The water in this spring is now healed and will never make the people sick again or keep the land from producing good crops." Brothers and sisters, from that moment, the water of the city was pure, just as Elisha had said. The servant of the Lord tells us that the healing of the waters of Jericho was accomplished not by any wisdom of man, but by the miracle of God. Those who had rebuilt the city were undeserving of the favor of heaven. And yet the same God who maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, the same God who sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, that same God listened to the prayers of the righteous in spite of the deeds of the wicked and blessed everyone with healing water. The restoration of the spring was permanent. Even to this day, water flows, bringing beauty to that valley. Now, in casting salt into the bitter spring, Elisha taught the same spiritual lesson taught by Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. You remember the day Jesus called his followers together to hear the words of his first recorded sermon. Can you imagine being a preacher and out there to preach your first recorded sermon? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was really just restating the principles the prophets in the Old Testament had taught. In the Old Testament, the same principles were revealed. But what had happened was, servant of the Lord said that the scribes and Pharisees knew so little of these principles as applied to everyday life. In other words, it's one thing to know your faith. It's another thing to apply your faith. They only knew their faith. They had not applied their faith. And when you don't apply your faith, the knowledge of your faith becomes foreign to you. Do you understand that today? And so these Pharisees, they found that Christ, this is what Ellen White says, Christ restating of those principles on the Sermon of the Mount had become and sounded like heresy to them. My, my, my. All because they hadn't lived what they profess. For faith without works is dead. When Jesus saw the crowds and he shared with them, this is what he said, and I like the way the Clear Word Bible says, and he shared with them all the values of his kingdom. He says, happiness comes, Matthew 5, verse 3. You know, it says, blessed are, but the modern translation is, happiness comes from, and I love the way the Clear Word Bible says, happiness comes from having the right attitude.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. There are a whole lot more people would be happier if they only had the right attitude. They think their happiness comes from the way other people treat them. But your happiness comes from the inside. It comes from your right attitude. And verse 4, happiness comes from grieving when you sin. Huh? People who don't know how to be sorry for their sins are never happy people. Woo, are you listening to me today? Happiness comes from confessing your sins. That's what Jesus said. And in verse 5, happiness comes from being eager to listen and obey. Oh, if we can only get that through the head of some of our children. You will be happy if you obey. Amen. And verse 6, happiness comes from loving to do what is right. Those who do right will always be happy. Happiness comes from being kind and considerate. Verse 8, happiness comes to those with pure thoughts and motives.
Amen.
Verse 9, happiness comes from being a peacemaker.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
For such are God's children. Verse 10, happiness even comes from being persecuted for doing what's right.
Amen.
When this happens, verse 12 says, be glad, because it shows that, oh, hallelujah, your name is written in heaven. If you are being persecuted for doing what is right, be happy, because your name is written, hallelujah, in heaven. Martin Niemöller, a World War I hero in Germany, was imprisoned for 8 years, World War II, imprisoned for 8 years by Hitler. He spent time in prisons and concentration camps, including Dachau. And Hitler realized if Niemöller could be persuaded to join his cause, the cause of Nazi Germany, then opposition would collapse. So he sent a former friend of Niemöller's to visit him, a friend who supported the Nazis. And he said to Niemöller in his cell, Martin, 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 why are you here? Niemöller replied, my friend, why are you not here? Even when you're persecuted, be glad. Hallelujah. Your name is written in heaven. These words of Jesus from the Sermon of the Mount were addressed to all of us. In this, our Lord's first recorded sermon, he made it clear that if his followers would only pattern their lives after these principles in the Sermon of the Mount, that they would have a dramatic impact on the world around them. In fact, said Jesus, he said it this way, my followers who live after my example are the salt of the earth. Now, brothers and sisters, in our modern day society, it's hard for us to understand the power of what Jesus said when he said, my followers are the salt of the earth. You see, we eat what's given to us, and we seldom, let's be honest, read the labels. If we did, we would have a greater appreciation for the value of salt. You see, today we have salt in almost everything. Amen. It is of such plenteous quantities that we take it for granted, we throw it away, without an understanding of how precious salt was to people in Christ's day. It is difficult for us to fully appreciate the power of what Jesus said when he said, "You are the salt of the earth." Yes, yes. You see, you are, Jesus was saying in this statement, that you are to preserve the good, because salt is to preserve and salt is to flavor. Yes. Amen. Jesus saying, you are to preserve the good, you my followers, and you are to bring flavor to life. Amen. You are, said Jesus, the salt of the earth. And if you, the salt, lose your power to preserve the good that's left in life, if you, the salt, lose your power to bring out the best flavor in life, oh Lord, help Christians to not look like undertakers. God said you are to bring flavor to life. Salt was so important in ancient Rome. The Romans used to believe, check this out, that there was only one thing more valuable than salt, and that was sun. The Romans used to say, nothing is more useful than light and salt. Many Roman soldiers received and even preferred their salaries to be paid in salt. Now, you know salt was heavy. Some even suggested that that was where the saying came from. You know the saying, he's not worth his salt. That's how valuable salt was to the Romans. So you can imagine that those who heard that bold word from Jesus in his sermon that day knew that Jesus was making a radical statement. He was making, are you with me today? He was making a groundbreaking announcement. This was not just poetry. This was a revolution. My followers are the salt of the earth. The people of Jesus' time understood that Jesus was saying to them that to be the salt of the earth was to be something powerful, something special, something valuable. Listen, whenever salt shows up, it's a party.
Amen. All right. Yes, sir.
It's one of those elements. Are you with me? You don't really miss it until it doesn't show up for the party. Most of us at some time in our lives have had the experience of going over to some sister's home after church, hungry as the day you came into the world. You waited, are you with me? You waited until somebody mercifully was asked to say grace, and you sat down at the table filled with sumptuous, delicious dishes. The carrots were a deep, bright yellow. The broccoli, a vivid, brilliant green. You're getting hungry right about now, I can tell. The Wedgwood china looked like it was delicately hand-painted. Almost expectantly, you took your fork in hand, sampled your first steaming morsel. Right away, you knew you were in trouble. You knew that fine china doesn't make a good meal, but you found it out right then in that moment. And you made a decision that you weren't going to let your face show your displeasure. And the first thing you did was reach for the salt. You know I'm telling the truth. You know you're not a cook yourself, but you know a little bit of salt. And believe me, there's nothing more disappointing than eating an entire meal cooked without salt. It's so bland. It's tasteless. You'd almost rather eat your own shoe. You'd almost rather eat styrofoam. Maybe some of you have stayed in a hospital where your doctor stipulated a salt-free diet. And after your first bite, you wondered if the doctor was on your side, if he was trying to make you better or make you more sick. You know what I'm talking about. Every one of us have some food. I'm talking about the power of salt. Amen? Every one of us have some food that we will not eat without a little salt. For some it's Brussels sprouts. Some it's broccoli. Salt in its proper quantity is a blessing.
Too much salt is a bad thing too, amen? There are some sisters and, yeah, some brothers who cook with too much salt. Somebody forgot to tell them that salt has to be exquisitely blended into food, not dropped on top of the food. And I've learned in my life that the ability to cook is an acquired spiritual gift. And some have to pray harder for it than others. That may be true, but this I know. Brothers and sisters, salt is such a tiny thing, but boy, it can make a huge impact. It can have a huge difference. A little Irish boy was asked once what salt was, and he answered, "Salt is the thing that makes food taste bad if you don't put it on it." It's powerful. But salt has its limitations. It can't add flavor, but it can bring it out. It can enhance flavor, but it can't replace flavor. If your food starts out tasting bad, there's very little that salt can help with, you know? If the food has even a little potential of tasting good, just the right amount of salt will bring out whatever little flavor there is. Salt is powerful. And when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," you got to recognize in that culture, in that environment, that was an explosive, revolutionary statement. Salt not only makes food palatable, it helps you digest your food. It helps you enjoy your food. Even Job, if you have your Bibles, Job 6:6 says, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt?" Did you know that's in the Bible? Job said, "Can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" In the days before refrigeration, all people had to preserve their food with salt. In the autumn or the fall of the year, God says, "Take your time." People would kill their meat and fish, and then they used salt to preserve the meat all winter long because they didn't have refrigeration. In many tropical countries where refrigeration is still scarce, people still rub salt into meat to keep it from going bad. Salt was so important, the historian Plutarch recorded that the people of his time were so amazed at the ability of salt to preserve dead meat that they believed that when you applied salt to a dead body, it was like giving that dead body new life. Wow. That's how heavy salt was. They realized that what we figured out today, that salt is a remarkable preservative. The body needs salt. The reason food needs a preservative is that food decays with time, and food that is decaying will eventually rot and stink. You know, many years ago, my brother and I, we bought 2 rotis. Now, for those of you who don't know what a roti is, it looks like a burrito, but it's better. And trust me, there's nothing more delicious, nothing more delectable, and this is pre-vegetarian days, than a good goat roti. My brother and I had these 2 rotis, and for some reason, we often had little competitions going on between each other. We decided to see who could keep their roti the longest. After a day or two, I couldn't hold out. I took my roti and ate my roti. Lo and behold, he forgot he even had a roti. And after a couple of weeks, we noticed a foul odor coming out of this paper bag. And we looked inside the bag. It was my brother's roti, rotting, decaying, putrefying. He won the contest, but I enjoyed my roti. He couldn't eat his because decay is dangerous. If something is full of decay, usually that means that there are diseases that are accompanying that decay. Salt has the power to arrest decay and keep good food from going bad too quickly. That is why in our modern era, prepackaged food, almost everything you buy off the shelf is full of salt. I'm telling you, salt is powerful. Salt has become so prolific in our modern diet that each of us, listen, eats hundreds of pounds of salt every year. Frankly, it's killing some of us. That's why some of us have high blood pressure. Huh? As a nation, we eat too much salt. Even though we misuse salt, however, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus wanted us to know that salt is powerful stuff. Amen. It is a preservative. And check this out. It is also an antiseptic. That's why when you have a sore throat, the old folks used to recommend you gargle in salt water. And frankly, many of us still do it. I know I do. Salt is powerful medicine. Throughout the scriptures, God commanded the use of salt in sacrifices and important ceremonies in Leviticus. If you have your Bibles, turn to Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. Leviticus 2, verse 13. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou, what? Season with salt. Wow. God said, all of your offerings, season them with salt. And if you have your Bibles, also turn to Numbers 18, the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 19. And all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. It is a what? Covenant of salt. Forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. Brothers and sisters, God used salt as a sign of a covenant. Mm-hmm. Of something that would last. Hallelujah. Amen. So when Jesus said to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. He was doing more than just putting forth an allegory. He was putting forth an idea that was revolutionary. Jesus could have said, you, my followers, are the honey of the world. He could have said, you're the sugar of the world. He could have said, you are the NutraSweet of the world. He could have said, you are the sage and rosemary spices of the world. But instead, Jesus simply said, you are the salt of the earth.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message and to the end of our program for today. I'd like to thank Pastor Phipps for the message, Ye Are the Salt of the Earth, Part 1. We will plan to broadcast Part 2 of this message in another program. But if you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Please ask for program number 226, and that will give you today's title. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I want to wish you God's richest blessings for this week. Please join us again, though, for another program. But until you can, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.